pray together. God, we thank you so much for letting us get to enjoy you and enjoy each other. And God, we thank you for being faithful, more faithful than we will ever know. God, we love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. What? The holy cloth. If you hadn't been here for like the last 3 weeks, you're totally not getting any of this, and I'm sorry, that's your fault. We'd have the Amish fireplace up here, but apparently some people took advantage of that and ordered more than two per household. And let me just tell you what, this thing is so great, but if you watch commercials, Jake Lockhart pointed this out to me, and he also pointed out that if we had Snuggies made out of ShamWows, then we could get my wife one of those, and she could, like, clean up messes and help dry off the car. But the deal with the in the commercial, if you watch that, they're like at a football game or something, and when they like jump up to like cheer, you just barely see it. Jake caught it because he's the all-seeing eye. We're going to talk about that in God today. Kind of weird. But it is this. It's like, you know, I'm so warm, but my honey is cold. You know, it's like, I cannot handle stuff like that. That is definitely my wife right there. It's funny because one of the guys at church got this thing, and he was telling me he works for Walgreens, and he was telling me that this was like part of like the first shipment of, you know, Snuggies to Nashville. And this was, and he bought, like, he saw them coming off the truck. He bought the first one. It's possible, very, very, very possible that this is the very first Snuggie in Nashville right here. Other than maybe the people that ordered it off of TV. And if they did, they got a second Snuggie, and they also got the reading lights, which we don't get when you buy it at Walgreens. But not available in stores, right? But it's funny to me. You know, people will search out things like that. And, you know, and of course, I've been having fun with that stuff and cash for gold, had to say it. But I've been having fun with that stuff. But truth is I know that there's people that have just like been seeking out the Snuggie and seeking out the ShamWow. They're looking for it, you know, and we get that way. We get to where we're looking for something. You know, I've been this way. You know, when I remember one time I was looking for a magazine that had an article in it about something to do with the church and where the church was going, and it was like in a, I don't know, some kind of crazy business magazine. It wasn't a Christian magazine or whatever, and so I really wanted to read it, and I'd seen it. And I searched all over Nashville. I was like a week late on this thing, and they apparently came out, you know, this magazine put a new issue out every week. And so I was calling all the bookstores, and finally I found a bookstore like out in Green Hills that had like extra copies left of last week's, which was the one I was looking for. And so I went up there, and I was so excited. Don't ask me why I did this. I was so excited about it that I went up there, and I said, well, how many do you have? As if I need more than one. And they were like, oh, we've got like 8 copies. Like, I want them all. And they're like, you do? And I was like, yeah, I want every single one of them. And, you know, and I was thinking, I'm going to give this to the staff and to whoever, whatever. And we did. But then later on, I was just kind of like, why not just make some copies? You know, that was really stupid of me. But, you know, we get caught up in the search for stuff, and truth be known, we sometimes we get caught up on the opposite end of the search for stuff, where maybe somebody is searching you out. Maybe you got people that are looking for you. Maybe they've asked to be your friend on Facebook, and you're pretending like they're not there. You know, they're like somebody from your past, and you're like, I don't want to be their friend. I don't want to see their updates, and I don't want them seeing mine, you know, kind of thing, or whatever. I don't know. And you know, with the whole searching thing, this is something that God is big into. God is big into the searching. And he knows us. And we're going to look at this scripture today out of the book of Psalms. And, you know, again, I think last week I told you we might go back to Nehemiah. We're not going back to Nehemiah, not anytime soon anyway. In fact, next week we're starting a new series on the book of Daniel. And I just want you to know, and I've said this a couple times, but my prayer this year for the people in our church, one of many, one of the bigger prayers for the people that are part of our church is that they would fall in love of God, fall in love with God through his word. I have so many people that say to me, you know, I want to grow and I'm coming to church, and it just, sometimes it just seems like God's, I'm not, you know, he's not hearing me, I'm not hearing from him, whatever the deal. And I think a lot of it comes back to the fact that we're really not spending time in his word. And maybe you are, but maybe you're studying the book of Leviticus, and it's got its place, but, you know, there's certain places that are good to start in spending time with God. And honestly, this passage that we're reading this morning is one of those places, and along with many other things. And if you ever need help with that, just say the word, and Ben or I or any of the other staff guys would be glad to help point you in direction of, you know, maybe where you should study and kind of what's going on with your life right now. But this morning, you know, the whole idea that we sometimes hide ourselves. You know, we would hide from God. You know, we saw this with Adam and Eve. What happens with Adam and Eve? Well, they fall into the sin, they eat the fruit, and then what happens? They go and hide. And it's like the biggest pointless game of hide and seek there ever was. Because it's like, you know, he just created everything. They know him. They know he knows where they're at. You know, and so all of this is going on. And for us, we do the same thing many times. We do the same thing. We try to pretend like certain sins don't exist in our life. We try to pretend like, you know, God doesn't really see us do or say some of the things that we really do. We try to pretend that because other people around us can't read our thoughts, that God doesn't know them either. And it's all wrong. He knows. In fact, Psalm 139 shows us that he knows. And right here in Psalm 139, it says in verse 1, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in. Behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." This is the omniscient God. This is the God that he's everywhere. He's Jehovah. He's all-knowing. He knows. He knows our stuff. He knows us inside and out. The scripture shows us right off the bat, says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You discern my going out and my lying down." Basically, he is into everything that we are into. And, you know, and I think for so many of us, we're like, you know, well, all these, you know, there's a lot of things that God is interested in, but there's a lot of things that God just doesn't care. And I don't know that we can say that scripturally. I really don't think we can make that argument. Because especially when we're looking at this and we're understanding this, I mean, if that was true, then it would say, you know, God is there when we get ready to, you know, speak big, bold words to the people that need to hear it. And that's not what the scripture is saying. The scripture is saying that he is there when we are getting up and when we are lying down, that he knows about it, that he knows us setting and rising. "You perceive my thoughts from afar." Let me ask you a question. What have your thoughts looked like this week? If we could pass out some paper and crayons and have everybody color some pictures for us, it might be some interesting stuff going down in some, you know, rated something else coloring books. I don't know. But, you know, our thoughts are just, they're there, and God knows them. He's got it. You know, and I think for so many of us, you know, our sin sometimes lies in those things that can't be seen by maybe a lot of people around us, but we're holding on to them. We're going, you know, this one little thing is not hurting anybody. We talked about that a few weeks ago and how that's not ever true. Our sin is always hurting us, which is hurting others, because here's the deal. When we have sin in our life, it is keeping us from getting closer to God, which is keeping us from being able to be used for his kingdom. And so in turn, our disobedience to God is affecting everybody in our life. We hurt everybody in our life from that. I have to just talk about it because I love it. I was watching Walk the Line last night while I was studying. I'm a big Cash fan. If you didn't know that, I like Cash, and in the movie, you know, and of course some of it's true, some of it, you know, whatever. It's a movie, and you know, but we get to the end, toward the end of the movie, and Johnny. And this is where he is, you know, if you don't know, you just got to go watch it, whatever. Johnny had gotten addicted to some drugs and stuff, and June, who was soon to be his wife but not yet at this moment, had basically stayed at his house for him to just basically detox. And like, you know, it shows in the movie her parents being there and her dad's like running away the drug dealer that would come to his house out in Hendersonville to, you know, sell him his drugs with a shotgun and stuff. Like, get back in your Falcon and get out of here, whatever, you know. And so like, you know, I had the car, of course. And so, sorry. And you know, but that's the scene. That's what happens. And so like Johnny comes full circle finally, and he like wakes up, and June's sitting there on the edge of his bed, and she's got like a bowl of berries they picked. Oh, we picked these for you. You should eat them. And he's looking at her, and she's saying, you know, I'm sorry. And he's like, no, I'm sorry, you know, kind of a thing. And basically kind of gets down to, you know, basically saying, please, he's saying, please don't leave. And she's saying, I'm not going to leave. And he's looking at her, and he says, well, you know, I love you. And she says, well, I love you too. And she said, and he says, you know, you've done this amazing thing for me. And she says, I had a friend that needed me. And this, man, this is just so like very much where we should be with every day of our life, with the whole friend needing me thing. But he even goes further, and he says, but you know, I have done so many bad things. And she looks at him and she says, yeah, you have done some bad things, but I still love you. You know, and that's a great picture of who God is. And it's not that God is saying, hey, your sin is okay with me. No, it's not okay. It makes him mad. He gets angry with our sin. Not at us, but with our sin. I'm sure he probably does want to, you know, snatch us up and, you know, thump us on the head sometimes. But the truth be known is that God loves us, and he hates our sin, and he hates it when we give in to it. And so, you know, and for us to think, you know, well, if God knows everything about me, then he knows the good and all of the bad. And I can't even fathom when he takes all of the bad from my life, what does that make him feel like? This scripture was written as a hymn. It's written actually like be sung. It's written, and there's like commands of, you know, to go along with this scripture of, you know, for the song director and all this stuff. And you know, and I think about this, and I think about what are we singing about here? If we're taking a verse that says, God, you know me, you've searched me, you've seen it all. You've got the whole picture. You don't have the picture of like what I'm painting for everybody else in my life. You've got the whole thing. What do we do with that? Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem in me behind and before. You come behind and before me. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And what David is saying here is he's saying, how unbelievable you are, God. How unbelievable you are. How undeserving am I that I could continually break your heart and that you would continually love me the same. Recently in the news, we've seen a young little girl in Florida, in Orlando actually, named Kaylee. It disappeared. Many of you have seen this all over the news. It's been a pretty big deal for a while now. And kind of a crazy deal. A pastor friend of mine, the only pastor friend of mine that I know in Orlando, has actually been kind of in the midst of all that and has been ministering to the family. At one point was ministering to the mother that, you know, has been found guilty now. and all of this, and I mean, just a big mess. And we talked on the phone one day, and he said, Chris, he said, you know, this is kind of beside the point, but I'll tell you anyway. He said, Chris, he said, you know, some of the pastors around here are basically blackballing me for just trying to love on this lady. And he said, you know, Chris, I don't know if she did it. I don't know if she did. I don't have any idea. There's no way for me to know that. And I said, that's exactly right. And he said, am I doing the right thing? I said, absolutely, you're doing the right thing. I said, you're loving, you're trying to love everybody like Jesus would have loved them. Well, the search was on for little Kaylee, and of course it ended up being a bad ending, you know, so to speak. And that was in that they found the body, and that she had died, and that had happened in her mother's possession, and all of this, and just big, big old mess of stuff. And in talking with Shane, I said, man, this has got to be hard stuff. And I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and we were messaging back and forth and stuff, and he said, please pray for me tomorrow. He said, I'm going to be doing the funeral. And I was like, wow. And I thought to myself, I thought, you know, here all this time, you know, almost, it's been a long time that they've been looking for this little girl, that they've been searching. And they searched and they searched and they searched. And finally, it comes to an end. And what happens at the end is, it's not necessarily what they wanted to happen. They hoped to find her, obviously, alive. But there's an end of the searching. You know, we have just this little amount of time that I know that we think is so long. But it flies by so fast. And anybody that has kids can understand that. And I think for us to just be honest with who we are and allowing God to search us is a very wise thing for us to do, continually saying, God, search me. And reading scripture and calling out to him and saying, God, you are great and you do know me. God, move me into knowing you more. Move me into coming away from those things that break your heart. God has already searched every one of us here this morning. He already knows. There's nothing you can't tell him. It's a pretty amazing thing. And just to be quite honest with you, it leaves us in a place where, you know, all we really can do is worship. All we really can do is sit back and say, God, you are great. You are good. The band's going to come and we're gonna sing some more. I'm coming back, and then we'll sing some more. We're gonna kind of mix this a little bit this morning, but you know, for just the next few minutes, I want you just to ponder this idea of how great God is, that He knows you and loves you. How great is our God that He could know me and still love me? It's beyond my understanding. And as David says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Let me pray for us. I want to read you just a little more of this scripture that I honestly wasn't going to read, and I just feel like God's saying read it. And so we're just going to read it. I'm not necessarily going to talk about a whole lot of it. And if nothing else, I hope that it spurs you on to maybe go check it out later on tonight in your own. Verse 7 of Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is a light to you. Verse 13, check this out. For you created me. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to you, me, are the thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Where I too count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And I just, you know, I read that, and I got to tell you what that does for me. And I hope it does it for you. And if it doesn't, maybe after thinking about it for a little while, it will. But when I read that, in this world of folks that are feeling alone many times, and feeling like they're kind of out there doing their thing, but maybe nobody really cares, or, you know, they question whether or not God is really paying attention. He is. He's there. He's on the scene, and he's with us. And for me, what that does for me is it just lets me sigh. A sigh of relief. Because the stuff in this world that I've been given responsibility over and all of those things, honestly, I could never do them. Could never, ever do them if it were not for him. And it's in the moments of being able to read scripture like that that I'm reminded that I am not alone, that God is with me, and that he is for himself, that he is for his kingdom. And if I am for his kingdom, then I am going in the right direction. Someone asked me one time, a friend of mine that helps people start businesses, and he's been a CEO of very large corporations. He asked me, he said, when you first started the church, were you scared that, you know, it just would kind of fall apart one day on you? And I told him, I said, well, I don't know that I really ever thought about it like that. And I told him, now that I'm thinking about it, it kind of scares me. I said, but you know, I said, I guess maybe I was just dumb enough to realize or think, you know, that if God's for it, there's no stopping it. And if you just trust in him, and there's been plenty of moments in my life when I have not. But with this one thing, I can at least say, I always knew what God was going to do. This morning, I think for so many of us, we get to this point of feeling alone, of feeling like we can't do it, and we stink and forget that he created us in the womb, and he knew us before we were ever made. And he planned a plan, and it's all there, and it's up to us to go in and kind of fill in the blanks. Here's the thing that we do. This hit me a little bit this week. The thing that we do is that we go, what is the plan? I want to know the plan. I got to get just a piece of it. What is it right now? What's the very next thing? What's the thing a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And I'm just here to tell you that he never gives it to us like that. He gives us the plan when we are obedient to him and to his word. This is his will. If you want to know the next step, this is it. And I know that's vague, and people look at it and go, I want to know God's will for my life. I want to know what's going to happen to me. Look, this is what needs to happen. Wherever this guides you, this is the map. Wherever it ends up taking you, that is the will of God. Later on in this passage, at the very end of this chapter, we have two verses. And toward the very end of this, we've gone from David just basically just crying out just how great God is in these things, and just saying, God, you are unbelievable for creating me, for knowing me, for searching me over. God, you are just unbelievable. But then David turns right back around, and he realizes he's a sinner. He realizes he has that nature in him, and he turns right back around, and he's just about shouting at God, I got to believe it, in verse 23, and he says, search me, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And he is at the point where he is just broken before God, and he is saying, God, I'm here. You take me just like this, and I'm ready for you to break me apart. I'm ready for you to mold me. I'm ready for you to shape me. I'm ready for you to turn me into who you want me to be. And you know, we have those moments in life where we go, God, I did that for you. And the thing that we've got to come to is that we got to do that daily. We just got to come to God daily and say, God, what is it that you want out of me? How do you want to break me today? That's not a tender thought, is it? You know, but that's just true. Sometimes God needs to break us before he can mold us and shape us into who we're going to be. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, if you see sin in my life, show it to me. Help me to overcome it. God, guide me through your will, through your plan for my life, not my plan, but yours. And this morning, I hope and I pray, and this is my prayer for us this morning, is that we can go away from here today saying those words to God within our heart, that we would be ready to be broken by him if that's what we need to do. And that we could sigh a sigh of relief, knowing that it's not all on us. Praise God for that. It's not all on us. Now, I want you just to take the next few minutes, and I want you just to spend it with God. I want you just to, you say, Chris, I've been doing that. I'm doing that right now. I'm with you. But I really want you just to focus in the next few minutes. I want you just to spend this time with the Lord. And I want you to ask yourself if you're really up for the challenge of letting God break you, if that's what needs to happen, of letting him mold you and shape you into being the person that you need to be the employee that you need to be the husband, the wife, the mom, the dad, the kid, the aunt, the uncle, the whatever, the grandfather, the grandmother that he is calling you to be, the athlete, the student. Are you ready to really let him take you and make you into what he wants you to be for his kingdom and for his glory and not our own? Our so big God is so big, but yet he is so personal. And he knows us, and he has searched us. But when we come to him with a prayer of saying, God, search me. If you see offensive stuff in my life, I want you to show me. I want you to help me overcome it. I want you to guide me into your will. Help me overcome my anxious thoughts. Let him take it. God, we thank you so much for your word. God, take those anxious thoughts. Take who we are in this moment in time. Break us, make us, mold us, shape us into the people that you want us to be. God, for your kingdom and for your glory. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for letting us get to worship you. God, I pray, Lord, that for your kingdom, that this would all be for your kingdom, for your glory. God, I pray, Lord, that your name would be more famous because we spent time with you today. I pray, Lord, that people in our lives would hear about you because we spent time with you. God, I pray, Lord, that our community could be changed because we spent time with you today. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.